Good morning again. Welcome to the last Sunday of the year. I'm recovering from something and I may have to have, I hope that's enough water today. But by the time I get done, you may be hoping the water runs out. Reminds me, my brother-in-law and I went once to an all-you-could-eat seafood buffet. We feasted pretty good. And we got our money's worth and finally figured out the folks that run the restaurant had a way of getting you out of there. They quit bringing you water. But the water's good today. I thought about all week, what will I say today? Today is the last Sunday of the year. You want to make every Sunday lasting impressions, but you think about this is the last Sunday. This year will soon be over. And what can we say to, and that would be relevant with the year running out? You know, Christmas has come and gone, and here Wednesday night, this year will be gone. So I want to read a verse of scripture, and we want to talk about time and how precious it is, and the fact that it is running out and quicker than we think. So let's read a verse of scripture from the book of James in chapter number 4, verses 13, 14, and 15. The word of God says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanish away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." In verse 14, the word of God says, you know, he just confronts us. What is your life? And he says, well, really, it's short, isn't it? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanish away. So he talks about how life is fleeting and how fragile life is and how quickly that time is getting away from us. We only have a little time and it's running out. It's running out. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for the blessings of this year that have brought some heartbreak, some trying times. But it's been a good year, and you've blessed us, dear Lord, and there's been good times. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you've seen us through the hard times and the good. We're privileged to be here today among God's people. We thank you for each one who's gathered, for those who are watching around iPads and cell phones and watching this and wishing they could be here today. Lord, we wish they could. We pray you bless them where they are, by the radio or whatever device they're using today. Now, Lord, we pray that you'd come and walk among us here this last Sunday of the year. Lord, let us know that we went to church the last Sunday of the year. In Jesus' name, amen. Only a little time, and frankly, it is running out. So we just got a little, and it's getting away. Time is not something that we can bottle up and save, you know, for a rainy day. It gets away. Another Christmas has come. Somebody said the prettiest Christmas lights are the tail lights leaving. But I don't necessarily think that. It's a good time for families to come together. It's been a difficult time in my family and many of yours too because of the loss of loved ones in this season, and it's kind of hard. But soon, You know, and just a week after Christmas falls the new year. And if the Lord wills, we will be here to welcome a new year. But this one is soon closing out. This Wednesday night will close out, and 2025 will be gone like the wind, forever gone. And those things that we fail to do, the opportunity will be gone. Now, I believe in plans, but I guess I could say at my age right now that I am in a place in my life to where I don't have plans per se like I normally do. I've always been a cautious person, and I've always tried to have a plan for this, a backup plan, and sometimes a backup plan. But, you know, things have happened in my life this year that I'm in a new place in my life, and I'm learning that, and I'll share this with you later, the best laid schemes or plans of mice and men sometimes go awry. So the future is uncertain, and certainly life is fragile and passing. And the one thing that James, somebody said, who is James? He is the brother of our Lord. Did you know that? James, the blessed, the brother of our Lord, who didn't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection. Isn't that amazing? Only his brothers didn't believe in him. They knew he was special, and they challenged him at time, go and prove you're the Messiah, and those things. But shortly after the resurrection, the Lord appeared unto James, the brother of our Lord, and by virtue of that, he becomes the leader of the New Jerusalem church, the mother church that anchored the church and the growth of the church worldwide. And James was one of the pillars of the church. So if you've not yet believed, there is hope for you. Remember, Jesus' own brother here, James, didn't believe until after the resurrection. And then he came to know that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And you can too. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, time is extended to you today, and we need to take advantage of this time. James shares this theme here in the fourth chapter of his book, and he talks about how fragile life is. There's a scripture in Proverbs, one verse that talks about this. He might be referring to that, but he says, you know, we have plans. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we're going to do these things, and a plan is all right. But what he's saying here is, be aware that sometimes the best of plans don't work out. The most careful planned plans can go awry. And he says, before we boast about what we're going to do, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go in such a city, continue there to buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be. You don't know about tomorrow. We don't control tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? We hope that 2026 will be a good year. We hope that 2025 closes out favorable. Amen? I hope it's good for all of us, and we don't have anything else to endure, unpleasant and hardships about us, that we can close this year out without any further damage or loss of life. We pray next year will be good and better, but we don't know what the year will hold. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? And then he says, you know, what is your life? When you think about the scope of life and all that's gone on in this universe, he says it's like a vapor that's for a little while. appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. Life is fleeting, only a little time, and that time is running out. So the Bible teaches us that we should take advantage of the time that we have to do the things that have eternal consequences, because this life will shortly be closing out. The Bible is full of stories about people who didn't respect this teaching. People about who thought that they had plenty of time. People who thought they had put together plans that would secure them and that they were in good shape. One of the more famous is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. It's about a man who had fared well, and he's come to the part in his life where he's made all the plans, secured his life, and he's now ready to enjoy it and just, enjoy life in his retirement. But it don't work out. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, Jesus shared this parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. That's a good problem to have, isn't it? I've got more than I can see to. That's a good problem. My wife and I have more than we can see to. You know, in a way, that's a good problem. Over the years, we've, like most of y'all, accumulated a lot of stuff. My daughter don't like that. She calls it clutter. But it's a good thing to have. There are people who have nothing. So this man has a problem that is a good problem. He said, I've got so much, I don't know what to do with it. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, okay, here's the plan. I've got this figured out. I have a plan for everything. I'll pull down my barns, build greater barns, and there will I bestow my fruits of my and my goods. My plan is to tear down the old barns, build bigger ones, build more storage, open up more bank accounts, do all of these things. I'll hang on to it. That's what he's really saying there. There I'll bestow all my fruits. And then at last, all of this, I'll be in a position where I can enjoy this. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to worry about it. I'll have the barns built. They'll be full. And then I can coast through life. Enjoy it. And I shall say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Oh, hey, I'm secured for a great many years here. I've got lots of goods, lots of stuff for many years. And now at last, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The Bible does teach us that we should be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor. Nothing wrong with that, but the problem here is, I'll say to myself, soul, thou hast, I've got a plan, and assuming that I have many years to eat, drink, and to be merry. But he didn't include a couple of things. He didn't include God in any of this plan, and he didn't include the fact that life is fleeting and it is very fragile and very uncertain. How do you know you have many years laid up? Well, he didn't, and he's about to find out. And the Bible says, these are the words of Jesus, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night, this very night, thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall all these things which thou hast provided be? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, you didn't think about eternal things. You didn't place any value in eternity and what's coming after this life. You thought you had things planned and schemed for this life. But all that stuff that you worried about, whose is it going to be? Because you're leaving here tonight. You're leaving tonight. Your soul will be required of you. Solomon, who was acclaimed as being one of the wisest men of the world, also struggled with that same issue. For Solomon was blessed with riches untold. You know, he asked only for wisdom. God gave him wisdom, said, because you have not asked for riches, I'm going to give you riches too. And he prospered and was blessed. And he made Jerusalem a beautiful city. All the buildings and the gardens and all that he'd done it, he had riches, wealth, and wisdom. Until his latter years, he sort of went mad and he got led away from God by outlandish women, that's what the Word of God says, and he actually began to participate in some of their pagan worship, and you know that story. It caused him a great fall in his life. But one of the things that he did, and you read about the book of Ecclesiastes, he had accomplished all these things. He had wealth, riches. You know, it takes a lot to take care of these things, and then it sets in on him. What am I going to do with this stuff when I'm gone? How do I know that the people who inherit these things from me will keep these beautiful gardens and pools and all this stuff will be kept up? And it drove him mad because he had to come to the terms, you know, I can't take this stuff with me. And I am helpless and out of control to be able to see who gets it and whether or not, how do I know they will take care of it and all that. And it just, you know, drives me mad to see this, what I've worked so hard for, and to see it go down. And you've all seen a well-kept home or something. Somebody passes away or gets sick and that somebody gets it and don't take care of it. You know how it goes downhill quick. Things that aren't taken care of, they don't seem to last very long. So that idea sunk in on Solomon. Hey, I can't take this with me, and I don't really know who the guy's going to be that's going to get this, whether he'll honor this stuff and keep it up. And it drove him partly mad. Which leads us to the theme of the little part of the poem that I read to you by Robert Burns in 1785. This is a Scottish poet who was probably plowing a field or a garden in the fall of the year over there, and his plow turns up a little mouse's house that he had, you know, nest of a mouse, had prepared for the harsh winter. And he helped that little mouse in his hands and his nest, and he pondered, you know, this little mouse has worked so hard. He had a plan, and he worked, built his house, and he was ready to survive the winter, but something happened. And he wrote that little poem to a mouse: the best laid schemes of men and mice often go awry. And the farmer accidentally plowed the mouse up and reflects on how even the most careful laid plans, sometimes they don't work out. They're ruined by chance. It wasn't the mouse's fault. He done what he had to do, done his best. It wasn't the farmer's fault. He didn't mean to do it, but by chance, it didn't work out. Life is fragile. Solomon says, in the book of Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. You know, the best team don't always win. You ever notice that? Most of the time they do, but not every time. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Sometimes it just don't work out, but time and chance happen to them all. Time and chance. So we may have the best laid plans for 2026, and we may have big plans. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. But remember to James, who says, be careful, for you don't know what tomorrow will bring. The book of Revelations tells us that all of time one day will run out. Time is an interesting thing when you think about it. And we know that the older we get, old people told us that the clock speeds up a little, and that works too, it does. But the Bible says not only is time in our lives running out, and the years are passing swiftly and they get quicker and quicker, but it also says that in due time, that time itself will run out. You see, there's a difference in eternity and time. We are affected by time, the limits of time, and we place that upon God in eternal things, and that won't work. You know, the Bible says a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day with God. So God is not affected by our time clock, but we are very much affected by it. You can deny it, but sooner or later it will catch up with you. We only got a little time, and it's running out quicker than we think. The book of Revelation in chapter 10 talks about a time when time will be declared that it's no more. It's it. You know, people say, somebody said, the thing about time is it goes on. Yeah, but it's going to run out one of these days, all of time. Revelation 10:1 says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard the voice of from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand on the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer, and it'll cease, and then eternity will set in. When we decease and leave the walks of this life, time is over for us. Time is over. And then it is eternity, you see. And that's, how long is that? That is forever, isn't it? There's no end to eternity. And so the Bible teaches us that we should think about eternity a little more than the thing here that's running out. This, we're here such a, you know, if time goes on 1,000 years, nobody will know that we existed. But eternity will go on and on. And we put so much effort and plan and scheme, and I believe we should be good stewards and do these things, but at the same time, have to confess that we're just pilgrims and strangers here for a short while, but we are going on to our eternal destiny that is in Christ. And James says, when you reflect upon life and how short it is, we need to be thinking about eternal things. You know, we're so careful to plan our lives and to scheme and to be prepared, sort of like the rich man that prospered that Jesus used as a teaching tool here. There's a man who was a good steward. You know, far as we know, he had planned accordingly, had a plan, but he did not compensate for the fact that God was in control. He didn't think about eternity. He didn't plan for eternity, which is forever. So we put all the focus and all the attention up on something that is temperamental, that is passing and ever so quickly fading away. They say that the Roman generals, when they conquered a country and come back under the great Roman Empire, they had, if you've seen Patton, that movie, he referenced that. They'd have like a big parade, victory parade. The Romans done up things in a big way. And the general would, they'd parade him and recognize him, sort of like the parades they used to have in New York City back in the day. Before him would be all the conquered lands, maybe exotic animals, slaves, chains, you know, submitted, that he had brought back victorious. And he would ride in a chariot while all the people proclaiming the victory, "You're the great Roman general, you've won the great victory." And they say that they would have a slave standing behind him in the chariot, whispering in his ear, as he enjoyed the praise and the glory, these words: "All glory is fading. It's fleeting. All glory is fleeting. Get away. You know, the spoils of this life will soon be over. We may have some great victories, but this life will soon be over." And that's what the Bible's talking about. Just as Christmas has come and gone, the year will be come and gone. Wednesday night, Thursday morning, another year is gone. You know, that's how quickly our lives are passing, fleeting, getting away. And we need to understand, you know, that was for the general to understand that this ain't going to last forever. All glory is fleeting and time is running out, and we need to plan on eternity, which is not going to run out, which is forever and ever and ever. We're just here passing through. That's why we're told as Christians, don't get too accustomed and acquainted with this world, because it's only here for a while. The patriarchs of the Bible were wealthy men. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the most part, were wealthy in their standards. They never owned a permanent home. They were nomads, pilgrims, lived about in tents, moving around. But the Bible says that they searched for a city whose builder and maker was God. You know, so we don't want to get too attached to the things of this world, because they are passing. We're not going to take anything. It's certain. We didn't start out with anything. We're not leaving here with anything. We're leaving this world one day, but if we are in Christ Jesus, we are going to our eternal destiny, to where we won't have to worry about time vanishing away. We cannot imagine the concept of eternity, because everything that we do is so fixed on time. so fixed on time. You know, we know the Bible's true when it says it's fleeting, it's going away, because we are experiencing it in real time now. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. And that's hard for a man to admit, that he has no control over these circumstances. You don't know. We can pray and hope and wish for the best, but we don't know. Remember, time and chance. You don't know what's tomorrow. For what is your life? A reminder to God's people that it's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. If you live to be 100 years, that's only but a short while. Oh, that's a long time. Not really compared to eternity. A vapor that appears for a little while. The question is, where are we going when this life is over? You see, there's another poem that a man wrote by the name of C.T. Studd, who was a British missionary, I believe. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Talking about how earthly things are fleeting, and only the things that we invest about eternity are really meaningful and lasting. The things of this world are soon passing away. And that's true. Only this life will soon be gone. Only what's done for Christ will last. Earthly things are fleeting. There is a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that talks about the urgency of time. And guards people against thinking I have plenty of time. Jesus talked about when that day comes, when he comes back, that if there's anything in the house, he said, don't go down and to get your stuff. You know, we're going to be leaving here when Jesus comes. There won't be time, is what he's teaching, to get ready to meet Christ. The coming of Christ was a very important doctrine to the early church, and it has to be to us today, because we are 2,000 years closer than the early church was to his appearing, and all signs are pointing to the coming of Christ. And Jesus says, you must get ready and stay ready and be ready to leave this world, because there will not be time. And one of the things he's talked about is, if you're on top of the house or whatever, don't go in the house and get something. You won't have time to get that stuff that we think we have to have. Let it go. Get ready to leave here. There won't be time to get ready for Jesus. That's why we must do it now. Because there, what, will not be time. That tsunami had hit Japan several years ago. They found an old Japanese man on the roof of his house, way out in the sea, alone. They asked him, man, how did you survive out here all this time? And he said, me and my wife got on top of the house, and as it started coming, she decided to go and to get something out of the house, and she perished. And Jesus said, that's the way it'll be. We need to get ready for Christ. In closing, Brother Danny is going to come and lead us in a song, and hopefully we'll make decisions here today. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and 1, we then as workers together with him beseech ye that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee, helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today and now. There's two words that he mentions there. Behold, now is accepted time. now is the day of salvation. Now, there's not, you know, that's a sense of urgency because we're not promised another day. To say that I will make a decision for Christ, you know, I plan on this the coming year, 2026. It's an admirable thought to be thinking about it, but at the same time, we have to understand that we don't control time or those events. We'll come to know the Lord when He calls for us. Amen? When He calls you, and that's why it's important to respond. When the invitation comes, we are to respond to Jesus. We don't know if we'll make it the next year. The rich man said, I'm at a place where I have it made. I've planned. I had the most careful plans, but those plans went awry. He forgot to think about how uncertain life is. And I know if we're young, we have big plans. It's okay for you to have plans, but just don't forget about God in those plans. Don't forget about how fleeting life is. I heard an old preacher say one time, I haven't forgot it, old people do die, but young people can die. Let's stand together this morning. We've only got a little time, and it's running out. If Christ is calling you to make a decision today, don't wait until next year. Come and do it today. Brother Danny.